Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir. We are approaching Parshas Vayishlach. What three things does Yaakov Avinu do to prepare for his meeting with Esav? Who knows all three? Tefillah, good. What else? Mechama. Wow. All right, Jerome nails it. Can he get the hat trick? Is there one more thing? Well, yeah, well, that's part of Mechama. He has a strategy. Presence, very good, very good. So Rashi and the Parsha Lamed Beis Tet, Hiskin Atzmo L'Shlosha Devarim L'Doron, that's presence, appeasement, L'Tfila, Davening, U'L'Milchama. All right, so Yaakov Avinu has a strategy when he prepares to greet Esav. We're going to focus on the Tfila piece this week because Yaakov was in an Es Tzara. He was in a time whereby he felt he really needed Hashem's help. And he turned to Hashem. And in Perek Lamed Beis, Yaakov Avinu says, "Vayomer Yaakov Velokei Avi Avraham, Velokei Avi Yitzchak." Now, why did he not say Velokei Yaakov? Because it was at the time, right? You know, he was number three. So he's saying, it sounds like Shimon Esrei almost, right? Hashem Omer Elai Shuv L'Artzach Olamadu Dechav Veitiv Eimach. Meaning, you told me, you know, to go back. I'm belittled, I'm so humbled, based on all of the wonderful things you have done for me. You have allowed me to grow. And now here's the prayer. So what did he do? What did he accomplish? And like, so far his tefillah has consisted of what type of prayer? He has what? He's about to do that. He's about to say, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. He's about to, in Pasuk Yud Beis, actually make a request. Hashem, please save me from Esav. So before he makes the request, what does he first do? He says, Hashem, you've done all these chasidim. All these chasadim to me. Shavach. Right? Before we ask Hashem of anything, we first praise him. And then Yaakov Avinu concludes the prayer. V'ata marte heiti v'eiti v'mcha v'samdi z'archa kol hayam. Basically, Hashem, you made a promise to me. And then the Torah records that Yaakov went to sleep. He was able to go to sleep that night. Okay, so the Sforno already picks up on the structure of Yaakov's tefillah. Every time we daven Shmona Esrei, we start with Shavach, we praise God, and then we make our requests in the middle paragraphs, and then we conclude with Hoda'ah. So says the Sforno, Hikdim b'seder shivcho shel makom v'chasadav. Before Yaakov Avinu actually asked anything of Hashem, he mentioned the chasadim that Hashem had performed for him. He also mentioned zechus avos, kiseder anshe kneses agadola b'tchila shmona esrei bebrachos. Meaning, Yaakov Avinu's tefillah in Parshas Vayishlach is structurally similar to the way we daven nowadays. The way anshe kneses agadola ended up setting up the shmona esrei. What do you mean? Zechus avos first. The kash.
No.
Yeah, of course. Very good, very good. Very good, of course. That's true. But all right, we're going to learn why that. Yeah, it's a deep idea. Okay. So the Nitziv, this is where it's going to get even more, we'll say, literal. You know, when you have a Mefarsha Torah, some will say that, listen, the Avos made mistakes. Some will say the Avos were not bound by the Torah at all. It was way before Matan Torah. And then you have pieces that we're about to read. Says the Nativ, Hiktim Shevach Litfila. Well, obviously, Avram first praised Hashem before he asked anything from Hashem. Kid Isab of Vodazara, that's a Gemara of Vodazara, that we always praise Hashem first. Ukvar bi Arno Bitfilas Avram al Sedom. Shel Hiktim Shevach Litfila. Says the Nativ, I don't get it. When Avram davened to save Stone, he did not first praise Hashem. He immediately started asking Hashem for what he wanted. You know why? In that story by Sodom, Avram was already in the middle of davening. So once there was like an update in the middle of a Shemona Esrei, we'd have to look at that. That's very good, very good. We'd have to kind of figure that one out and look that one up. But now here's the contrast. Aval Yaakov kfar hispalo mincha. The Nitziv wants to argue that Yaakov, in our Parsha, when he's davening, had already davened mincha. V'hinei nafal alav pachat pis'om. So what do you do if you're Yaakov Avinu and you have a real problem to daven for? You've already davened mincha, and it's not yet time to daven marv. What? What do you do? But it's not time yet. It's not time. Tfilas nedava. So last week's parsha, Yaakov invents or makes marv more famous, right? Very good. And you could argue there's a concept called the tfilas nedava, a voluntary shmoneh esrei, a very valid halakha concept. So you know what the Netziv says? Here Yaakov had to daven because he had what to daven for. So therefore, he davened, I guess we would call it tfilas nedava, even though the Netziv does not use the terminology. Tfilas nedava means a voluntary shmoneh esrei. So you want to add a voluntary shmoneh esrei onto the already existing three shmoneh esreis. Technically, that's allowed. Al kein hispalo miyad v'hiktim shevach kedin. So my point of this Netziv is that there's a concept of a davening within the three prayers, Shachar, Mincha, and Maariv. And there's a concept of davening to Hashem outside of the context of Shachar, Mincha, and Maariv. So the Netziv says that's what Yaakov Avinu did in this week's Parsha. Because sometimes problems arise and you can't daven Shachar anymore because you've already done it. You can't daven Mincha anymore because you've already done it. You can't daven Maariv yet because it's not time yet. So what do? You daven. What did he daven? What did he daven? Right, the structure, not the words, but the structure. Meaning, first you praise, then you request. Very good. How about it? So daven it to him, right? If only I could daven all day long. Very good. So what does prayer even mean?
Right.
So what we're going to discuss this evening, we're going to discuss examples of when we approach Hashem in tefillah, when we just need to talk to Hashem in tefillah. And it's not necessarily in the classical sense. So here we go. So that's what the Netziv says. Yaakov Avinu was doing this week's parasha. Now the Netziv, though, says he was very structured because he first, you know, gave the Shevach before the Bakasha. Now the Radak, I just couldn't help but teach this as well. Why does the Pasuk then say he went to sleep? Peter, would that have anything to do with the prayer, or that's a separate thing? What would you say? I would have said it's a separate thing. First he davened, then he went to sleep. How could the sleep be connected to the prayer? Is that like part of prayer to go to bed afterward? You know what the Radak says? Oh, very good. Thank you so much, Jerome. That's why when do I speak? Yes, shortly after Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, very good. His mom is she davened. So Yaakov bin davened Ashkama. Very good. So below Hamalach. I'm sorry here. You know what Yaakov Avinu did? Vayalen omedu metzapet shuvas hakel al tfilaso. Meaning the Radak understands Yaakov is sleeping, but it's not really sleeping. Right, he wanted an answer, basically. So when the Torah says that he, quote unquote, went to bed, what that means is that Yaakov wanted an answer whether or not Hashem was going to say yes or no. I guess in a dream, you know, or something like that, right? He was preparing himself for an answer. And the Malach doesn't come until later on. Says the Radak and underlined, V'loba ha-malach sh'ayet tshuvas tfiloso ad she'heichen ha-mincha v'shach ha-lefanav. You know why? V'zeh lo'odia ki ha-adam kishyeh be'es tzara. When you have a really urgent matter, afilu yiyeh tzadik, lo yismoch al ha-nes. Don't rely on a miracle. Elo yishmor atzim b'chol esher yuchal. You have to put it in your shtadlis. You have to prepare your appeasement presents and you have to prepare for battle. Part of the avodah here for Yaakov Avinu was that he couldn't get an immediate answer. Yaakov was hoping for an immediate answer. Meaning Yaakov was hoping for an immediate answer, and Hashem's answer was you can't get an immediate answer right now because you need to put in your hishtamas. So Vayalan Sham means that Yaakov was hoping for an answer, and Hashem could not give him that answer right now. You want to know whether or not I'm going to answer, and I can't. I can't. Your job, Yaakov Avinu, right now is to live within the uncertainty. You need to put in your hishtadlus. It's like as if you go for a job interview, and you're putting in your hishtadlus, and you're davening Hashem, please, 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 please. And Hashem says, I can't tell you whether you're going to get the job or not. You know, your job right now is to try. So send the follow-up email. So nice to meet you today. You know, you put in the necessary efforts. But apparently, we also need to wait. We daven and we wait for an answer. And part of that is the shtadlus. We have to do what we have to do. And Hashem's not always going to tell us right away what we want to hear. Fine. So this is all background in the parsha to teach us that there's a concept of, I would say, freestyle prayer. Freestyle prayer. How do I know there's a concept of freestyle prayer? It's all over Tanakh. When I was in graduate school, an Israeli graduate school for Jewish education, I took a course called Teaching Tefillah. Who gave the course? Rabbi Dr. Jay Goldman. What did he publish in his lifetime? A couple things, besides his own dissertation. He is the commentary on what? The Koren Vani Tefillah Siddur. Who in Armenia Dames with that stark? He even has the Shabbos version of that Siddur? Alvin. You know, ever see Alvin's Light Blue Siddur? So in TABC, we have the weekday version, very popular. If you love the Shabbos version. And I also married Rabbi Goldman's daughter, right? So, so did I marry Rabbi Goldman's daughter before I took him as a professor or after I took him as a professor? What do you think?
I hope before.
So I was already a son-in-law. It was an online course. And every time I addressed him in an email, I addressed it as Rabbi Doctor. I never called him Abba or any of that shtick, you know. So I don't know if anyone else in the class knew. What? I got a good grade. Grades in graduate school, I don't know if they matter. It's a good shot. Like, I don't know. You got a degree. I'm not sure what the deal with the grades are, but Baruch Hashem, I got a good grade. Anyway, so that was a good shtick. But why am I telling you this? An assignment, I think it was the first assignment that we received that semester, is that he said, find prayer throughout Tanakh. And make list as many examples of figures of in Tanakh who pray. So what would you say? What stands out? In Bereishis. That would be a good one. What?
Avram.
100%. Avram of Stone? Which one?
Stone was the first one.
Yeah, good. Yeah, Neymar was what? Akaros? Which ones?
Yeah.
Avos. You're going to find a lot of it. You're going to find a lot of examples.
Gadol Avanim itself.
Kain and Hevel. Right, already Kain and Hevel. Very good. Where Kain kills Hevel and he davens, Hashem, you got to help me out, whatever. You know, even Lot, you know, he compromises with Hashem, you know, please help me, you know. So you find in Tanakh that people turn to Hashem when they really need help, right? It's a very common concept, right? And again, my father-in-law then, you know, taught us the Rambam. What's the mitzvah midoraisa according to the Rambam of prayer? So the Rambam, out of the 613, lists tefillah as the fifth mitzvah. The mitzvah chamishi is he shetivano laovdo yisale, and the Sifri explains this pasuk when it says ulaovdo is a reference to tefillah ulaovdo zu tefillah. Okay, so the Rambam in Hilchos. So what does it mean tefillah? The Rambam in Hilchos tefillah perak aleph halacha aleph clarifies mitzvahs asay lispalu b'chol yom va'avadasem Hashem elokeichem, serve God, daven every day. What does it mean? Amru Chachamim. It's on the last source on that first page in the middle line of the Rambam. Amru Chachamim. Ezuhi avodah shebelev zu tefillah. I'm going to underline this now in my document. Ve'ein minyan ha-tefillah is min ha-Torah. The amount of times you pray each day is not d'oraisa. Velo mishnah ha-tefillah azos min ha-Torah. The text of the prayer is not mid'oraisa. Ve'ein le-tefillah zaman kavua min ha-Torah. And the time we pray is not mid'oraisa. So all the Torah demands and requires of us is some form of relationship, some form of engagement, of conversation. Once a day, what is it? What do you say? How you say it? Not at all so clear. Now the Rambam then explains why the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah needed to give us Shmona Esrei. You know, what would have happened if they didn't do that? We would have, you know, lost the concept of prayer. We would have forgotten the Hebrew language. Whatever it is, you can learn that Rambam. But we were too spread out and the Golos was too intense and we needed a set text. Otherwise, prayer would have literally been, you know, forgotten, basically. But the Ramban famously disagrees with the Rambam and says this is not one of the 613 mitzvos. There is no mitzvah midoraisa to pray every day. There is a mitzvah derabanan. Can't deny that. You look at the Gemara, there's a mitzvah derabanan, you say Shmoneh Esrei, etc. That. But tefillah is enoch of a klal. Tefillah is a chesed. Tefillah is a chesed. Hashem does us a tremendous favor by allowing us to talk to him. And there is a mitzvah midoraisa, though. You can't deny that. In Parsha Baaloscha, Chitavo milchama ba'artzichem, right? If there's a war, what do you do? right? You have to sound the chatzotzeres, right? You have to cry out to Hashem. The famous shita of the Ramban is the mitzvah called Tzara v'Tzara, shetavu ala tzibur litzok lefanav b'tfila u'b'trua. So it's only a mitzvah to cry out to Hashem when you are in an eis tzara, when you really are in a pinch, a bind, you're a real problem. You must turn to Hashem if you are in danger, if there's a famine, a drought, a war, things like that. Wow. So that's the idea. What?
The Rav says it every day. Rambam says it every day.
Very good. So Shalom Zarnas, which is quoting this at Shalosh Shittos, Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful explanation as to the Nekudas HaMachlokas, the root of this dispute between the Ramban and the Rambam. And the Rav actually argues that they both agree. Both the Ramban and the Rambam agree that you only pray when you are in a time of distress. The machlokas is how to define distress. The Ramban will say distress is when you have a unique casualty, like a war, a famine. However, says the Rav from Soloveitchik in Reflections of the Rav, page 80 to 81, both regarded prayer as meaningful only if it is derived from a sense of tzara. They differ in their understanding of the word. The Rambam regarded daily life itself as being existentially in straits, inducing in the sensitive person feelings of despair, a brooding sense of life's meaninglessness, absurdity, lack of fulfillment. It is a persistent tzara, which exists b'chol yom, daily. That sounds a little intense, but essentially the Rav elaborates there by saying that the emotional turmoil of life is also an eis tzara. People go through stress, whether it's their own personal tzaros, financial, emotional, whatever it might be, people have reasons to daven. People have reasons to daven. And you don't need to wait until there is a bombing to daven. Now, it happens to be, on Rahman al-Islam, there was a bombing in Shalim recently, right? And I felt like if we didn't say Tehillim, we would be almost like Mevatel HaMitzvah Saseh Mida Araisa. Because what happens if you say Shemoneh Esrei? And, for example, a high school boy might not be sensitive enough to insert anything in a Shemoneh Esrei about the current situation in Eretz Yisrael. So I think it's the Rebbe's job to clap on the bima. Rabbi Yosef Adler was always excellent at this, as the Rosh Shiva and TABC. He would say, listen, chevra. You know, he would say, rabotai, in his own way. He would not say the words, listen, chevra. He would say, you know, rabotai. You know, and Eretz Yisrael needs our tefillot, and everyone, you could hear a pin drop. He had a way of capturing the audience like no other. And he would say, Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael need our tefillot today. We're going to say Tehillim, and that would be the way to do it. That would be the way to do it. I mean, it's an eis tzara. It's not a regular time to daven. It's time to quote-unquote daven. Like, this is the real deal. The Rambam would say every day is like that, whether there's a bombing or no bombing. You know, everyone has what to daven for. Okay, so
flip side is, yeah, you can't say hallel every day.
Very good. You can't say hallel every day, but you could.
But you say
hallel hagadah, by the way. So, you know, that's fascinating observation. But so therefore, what you're saying, why do we have the chutzpah to always ask Hashem for help? You're saying,
obviously, every breath is a miracle.
Yeah.
And that's Psukhet Zimra, as opposed to Halal HaMitzri, which is about the Nisan, the extraordinary Nisan that occurs for our voice. And that you can't say every day, but that you get up, that you have a Zarkavi Nishvasim, that you can say.
But if you say every day, you have reason to say it, it loses its intensity. To me, it has to be something, a special sorry, a special situation where you're dominating with the intensity that's
right. No, you're saying even with the, not how. So yeah. Hala, we have to figure out, you know, not to take Hashem for granted. Yeah. And then you're saying with the tzara stuff,
yeah,
it loses its edge, right? Meaning
right,
you're davening,
yeah, you
for a month.
Day, then you don't
right, it. Right. So maybe that's where the Ramban challenge would come back on the Rambam.
So the challenge is to say, okay, I'm talking about God. What do I need today? What do I need my brain for today? You know,
very good.
What did I do wrong today that I really need a kavara for? Who needs a refuah shleima?
Very good. Very good. All right. Let's rock. Let's go on. Okay. Hold the phone. All right. So I want to just point out that there are halachos that tap in to this concept. So in Hilchos Tainis, I did not put this on the Makoros yet, but the Shulchan Aruch Hanochas Tainus in Tav Kuf Ayin Tes explains the procedure of what Klal Yisrael would do when there was no rain. So we just started saying Vesein Talmud Matar last night, and if rain did not start, you know, eventually Klal Yisrael understood that it was a year of a drought, and you know what? They would add to Shemoneh Esrei. There was a very set, you know, text exactly. Would add extra six brachos, and in the Shulchan Aruch, they describe a procedure, and the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tav Kuf Ayin Tes Sif Beis Seder Atzila V'Sheish Brachos Shu Mosev Utkios Shu Utkem Mavor Yavet Betur B'Simin Zeh. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch actually recommends that you look in the Tor, and he says if you really want to get a nice idea into what the text and etc. is to these six additional brachos, you look at the Tor. But we would blow the shofar, we'd sound the, you know, what are the chatzotzos, what are the tkios, etc. And there was a set tefillah, in the same way we add anenu into our Shemoneh Esrei on a fast day. Right. So in the same way we have anenu, so it wasn't reserved for fast days. They would have this other, you know, need, specifically seemingly rain, whereby it was time to do that. All right, now in a very similar vein, whenever we daven Shemoneh Esrei, we are encouraged to add personal bakashas. The Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Yates says if you want to add something into Shemoneh Esrei, you can, as long as it is related to the bracha. So we know what's the most famous example of this. In Rafa'enu, there's a Yehi Ratzon, right? But, you know, it's really not limited to Rafa'enu. Let's, Shema Kolenu is where we go, like, real freestyle, right? Does anyone do that here? In Shema Kolenu, you insert your own, like, English prayers, right? Yeah. 100%. Every day I do it before I take my three steps back. It's a little bit recommended to do there, but you know, whatever works for you, so to speak. That if you have anything you want to daven before, you say a very, very common to say in Shema Kolenu, or the, before you take your three steps back, before the second Yilu Ratzon. But again, the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you need Parnassa. The bracha of Barech Aleinu is about that. So in the middle of the bracha, imagine if in the Siddur there was a Yilu Ratzon for a Parnassa. And in Shomei Tefillah, the Shulchan Aruch says, as you both mentioned, Yachal Lishol, call Tzrachav, whatever you need. Whatever you need. Oh, right. There's a special box in the Arch Kos Siddur. The gray box is one of the holiest things in the world. Right. Very good. Very good. So, again, there is a concept of davening. Also, the Shulchan Aruch says, maybe you should do it not in Shomei Tefillah, whatever, there's a concept of doing it at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. So without going all into all the details, however, everyone should at least view the Shemoneh Esrei as an opportunity not to only speak from the Siddur in the set text, but to really open up, like the Rav's description of the Rambam's Eis Sarah, and we should really open up a little bit. So these are just examples, and there is a concept also of a tefillas and a dove. So does anyone, we don't really do this nowadays. We don't really have kavana, and it's almost like dangerous to play with these things. But let's say if you're not, what? Oh, very good. That's exactly where we're about to go. So we never daven tefillas and dove as a tzibur. But let's say, harot to this bible tefillas and dove. Right. If you're not sure, did I daven Shemoneh Esrei? Did I not daven Shemoneh Esrei? Did I say Mashiach Baruch? Whatever. But the Shulchan Aruch rules Kuf Zayin Daled. Let's say you want to daven a prayer. You want to daven your own thing. So you have to be makir that you can really do it. That you have a kavana. Aval im einu yachol lechavin yafeh. But if you're not going to have good kavana, you should not do it. V'halavai sheyuchol lechavin b'shalosh tefilos hakavuos liyom. And you know, if only you could have kavana by shachris mincha ma'ariv already, right? But it is interesting to note that there's a concept of a tefillas and a davar. So, you know, it should be noted that the Hilchos Tefillah in its origin was a lot more freestyle than rigid. The Din d'Oraisa was not at all defined. The text and the amount, it was turned to Hashem. And even within the set text, we are encouraged to add personal prayers that are related to the text. In every paragraph has its own theme. And then in addition to those brachos, when there's a real Eis Sarah, the halacha encourages us to add extra brachos to the set text, you know, when you really need rain or whatever, six extra brachos and Eis Sarah. And even entirely new Shmona Esrei used to be encouraged, the Tefillas Nedava. So this should be clear. Should be clear. We don't do this anymore. What do we do when we want to turn to Hashem? We open up, say it to Him. And last week, Rachman al-Atzlan, when there was a bombing, I thought in TABC, the kids have to say Kapitel Tehillim. If it's an Eis Tzara, that's the response. And guess what? There's a Midrash that says that Yaakov Avinu said Tehillim. Now again, do the math. Yaakov, David HaMelech, whatever. We'll talk about this another time. But the Midrash itself asked the question. Oh, okay. David's not the only composer. We'll see, we're going to see a cool term. Okay, the compiler. Very good. Vayishka b'makom ahu. Last week's parsha, right? Yaakov Avinu goes to bed. So we know famously the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that he only went to bed now, but he was awake for 14 years learning Torah. That's one drasha on the pasuk. Rashi quotes that one. That's famous. Another opinion in the Medrash is Rabbi Nechemya Amar Kan Shachav. Here he went to bed. Aval kol chav shana she'amad beis shalavan lo shachav. He never went to bed the 20 years in Lavan's house. Why not? What was he doing? Rabbi Shuban Levi Omer, tes vav she'amal she'besefer tehillim. He was saying Sefer Tehillim. The 15 she'amalises, that's what David HaMelech was. That's what Yaakov Avinu rather was saying. Wow, and you know why? When David HaMelech makes a reference of Yomer Na Yisrael, it's a reference to Yisrael Saba. Who's Yisrael Saba? Yaakov Avinu, right? And there are different psukim that the Midrash says when it uses the term Yisrael in the pasuk, it's Yisrael Saba. Whoa, our Saba. That's pretty cool. So isn't it interesting that the same Yaakov Avinu who established Mariv, who is praying in Parshas Vayishlach, Hashem help me from Esav, he also is given credit in Chazal for saying Tehillim. Now, can anyone guess why we use Tehillim as our weapon? Well, does that make any sense? Why Tehillim? What would be the reason?
Because we don't like to make up our own feelings. So we like to use stuff. We certainly can't make up our own Shevach. It's not appropriate.
Good.
Therefore, we have to get Shevach from David HaMelech. That was written by Rav HaKodesh.
Right, meaning, well, Adam really answered the question. He's saying that what? So meaning, as opposed to giving Stukka or learning Torah, so Tehillim's advantage is what? That it's set text of David's prayers, is really what you're saying. So we're tapping into David's prayers?
Yeah.
That's right. So yes, who says that? The Midrash also. Midrash Tehillim says, Rabbi Yehuda and Omer B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, Kol She'amar David B'Sifro, anything that David said in Tehillim, K'negdo U'K'neged Kol Yisrael. He didn't mean it only in his own personal tzara. U'K'neged Kol Ha'itim Amru. Wow. So this is intuitive. We somehow kind of chap this, that Tehillim is this magical weapon that we use. And the Svarim say crazy things about Tehillim. It's crazy things. That if you say Tehillim every day, you're good. Like, you'll be protected. And we know our bubbies, Tehillim, you know, women, Tehillim. And I would never belittle such a thing. Henny Machlis, Zichrona Livracha. I met her 2 times. I have great stories with her on both of those stories. You were in grade school with her. Crown Ajib, wow. Wow, Lustig. Henny Lustig was Henny Machlis. Wow. So this is Moshe's story on page 454 of the Sefer, Amuna with Love and Chicken Soup. The story of Henny Machlis, written by Sari Yocheved Rigler. I also have the children's book for my kids. It's a slightly different version of these stories, a lot shorter. But here it is. After Shiva, I went to a money changer. This is Moshe, her son, saying. He told me, I remember how your mother used to sit there and say Tehillim when she needed a certain amount of money. Let's say she needed 50,000 shekel for a pressing project and he did not have that amount of shkalim. He would say, Giveret Machlis, I don't have the money and I'm not getting it in today. My mother would say, do you mind if I sit here and say Tehillim? She used to sit there saying Tehillim for a while. Then a guy would walk in wanting to change shkalims to dollars. He would say, can you change 50,000 shekel? According to the money changer, this happened several times. Exactly the sum my mother needed. Henny Machlis used to Hillam as a weapon, meaning you think you're not getting 50,000 shekel today. I need 50,000 shekel. I'm going to use my weapon, namely my Sefer Tehillim, and we'll see who wins. Right? Your logic or my deal. And this is our Masorah. I remember Rav Shimshon Pinkus in my car. I inherited a 1998 Dodge Caravan from my brother, Rabbi Ravi Mandelstam. He was in Shadabed Shiva and Kotel when I was able to drive. And when I inherited the car, the Chorona Levrach, we called it the Mandel van. So it had Rav Pinkus' Torah tips because I was the youngest boy and my older brothers put me on the right path. So I inherited a stark car with stark Torah tapes, Rav Shimshon Pinkus. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus, I remember, vividly said, Zechon of the Dekat Alevracha, when we need Hashem, we use Sefer Tehillim as our weapon. Right? I mean, that's our Masorah. It's our Masorah. Then last year, I'm listening to my Rebbe, Rabbi Kamenetsky of Parsha Shir, and I hear a ridiculously Litvish shot onto why we say Tehillim. We're not tapping into the power of tefillah, but rather what? We're tapping into the power of Talmud Torah. And tefillah is not really what we're doing. Tehillim is Torah. It's Pesukim, it's Tanakh. And it's in the Zechus of the Torah. So I'm like, what? That's crazy.
That's not crazy. Because the reason people learn Tehillim every day is because they couldn't learn. So this, if you read Pesukim and you don't understand them, you still get
this. Very good. Very good, very good. So Rav Soloveitchik said this. It's not Rav Soloveitchik. My Rebbe told me this, Rabbi Kamenetsky, from Rav Shechter, from Soloveitchik. There's a issue of learning Ksuvim on Shabbos morning. Mm-hmm. So you know what Rav Soloveitchik said? He didn't like Tehillim groups. So he didn't like it. Rav Soloveitchik over here in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav writes that Rav Soloveitchik felt that the people who had minog to say Tehillim, ein lem linog game Shabbos. Shouldn't do that. The Gazers, whatever he writes, is all pshat of it, but it's essentially included in the prohibition to what? To not learn Ksuvim on Shabbos is saying Tehillim. Wow. So he writes, V'asher akei nagu hachever Tehillim lamar pirkei Tehillim b'Shabbos b'davka achrei tefillas mincha. Rav Soloveitchik, in the name of his mother, said Tehillim groups on Shabbos should be reserved in the afternoon. Again, Rav Soloveitchik had a whole arichus about how Tehillim and Ksuvim is acceptable in the afternoon on Shabbos. But wait a minute, isn't it tefillah? It's not Torah. So, yeah, you can let him in if you hit the thing. Okay. So, there I am as the rabbi on NCSY Give this past summer, and Motzei Shabbos was Tisha B'Av. There's an engaged Tess. She was one of the administrators. And there was a question and answer, you know, Shabbos afternoon, right before Tisha B'Av. And she said, can we say Tehillim on Tisha B'Av? So what do you think? Can't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av.
It depends. I heard from Donny Rapp, he said that if you say it on a daily basis,
very good,
then you could do it. If you really don't, but you kind of say a few days, I mean, writers, I use like, sometimes
say
a day or so. If I'm busy, I skip a day or whatever, then you can't.
Very good. So the Shulchan rules that you can say Seder Hayom, Korbanos, etc., Shir Shayom, when do we do it on Tisha B'Av? We do it at Mincha, right? So the Magen Avram over there.
You say
Shir Shayom, Tehillim, you're right. We say anything that's normal. The Shulchan Aruch says Mutar Likros Kol Seder Hayom. Anything that's normal you could do, right? And the Magen Avram says in Posna, the minhag was that we don't say Tehillim and Shir HaYichud until the next day. And they make it up the next day. So the day after Tisha B'Av, they say, yesterday was so and such day, and whatever. So the Magen Avraham says, you can't learn Torah, but we do say it in Mincha. Right? Like our minhag. So fascinating idea. And the Shutivri Malkiel says, wait a minute. Shir Shel Yom, Tehillim on Tisha B'Av, is it Torah? Is it not Torah? So, listen. If you're davening for a sick person, that's not called limud, that's called bakasha tzorach sha'a. So clearly there are different ways to say Tehillim. And if there's someone who's sick and you're just whipping out Tehillim, So that's not in the context of Talmud Torah, but that's when you're using Tehillim as a mode of prayer. Because how else are you supposed to daven? You don't know what to say. So we use Tehillim as a set text. But then he says that, if you say Tehillim every day, then we made Tehillim Mincha, because if it's a daily thing, that's like a limud. All right, so again, in conclusion, I wanted to point out that there are many different types of way to daven, and even Tehillim, there are two different ways to understand Tehillim. Tehillim, if it's like a regimented daily activity, it might be considered to be Torah. But these spontaneous Tehillim kipitlach that we need to say randomly is obviously a method of tefillah. It's our mesorah, heni machlis, and our bubbies, and our, from Europe, etc. Certainly that's valid. However, we have a lot to learn from that freestyle of prayer, that our Shemone Esrei should not be dried up. And it should be known, maybe just to end on a trivia question, when the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah presents the issue, he says we had all these issues until Hashem had Rachmanis on us. And Rav Tursky, from his grandfather, Soloveitchik, said, noticeably absent in the Rambam's description of the Chanukah story is prayer. Said we were being persecuted. It was Lachatz Gadol until Hashem had Rachmanis on us. And noticeably absent is our prayer. So, end with the cliffhanger. Why do you think prayer is not in the story? Right? Noticeably absent or not? All right. Text me if you think you have an answer. It's a great word. My Rebbe, Yerav Tursky, says these are every year. All right, let's have Marv.